Sunday the 4th of December 2022, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Emmanuel, God with us. Sermon title, Giving Generously. Bible reading, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 23. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading is taken from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Julian. Morning, folks. You were expecting someone far more beautiful than I to come and speak this morning, but Kate, unfortunately, is ill and needs our prayers. She's probably not going to be with us across Christmas as she waits for tests and so on. So please do keep her in your prayers. But today, I'm afraid, you're landed with me. I've missed one or two things with all this COVID and lockdown, particularly weddings and wedding jokes. I once gave my husband the silent treatment for an entire week, the wife said, at the end of which he declared, "Darling, I think we're getting on really well recently." Two guys are down the pub. One said to the other, "I like to show my girlfriend who's boss in our house." "Wow," says his friend, "how on earth do you do that?" "Well," he said, "it's simple. I just hold a mirror up to her face." I've missed these marriage jokes, goodness me. Guy down the pub says with his wife, he looks up, he says, "I love you so much, I can never live without you." And the wife looks at him quizzically. She says, "Is that you talking or the beer?" He said, "Darling, don't be silly, I was talking to the beer." Love, and we make light of it, but actually, it's the glue of the world. And as our reading reminds us today, the source of all love flows out from the heart of God across all of his creation. Culminating, of course, on the cross of Christ, where he pays the ultimate price to overcome the fallenness of our world. And the call is for us to pass on that grace. Because Christ laid down his life for others, we lay down our lives for others. What does that look like? Well, I was reminded of that strange old story in the Old Testament of Balaam. Do you remember the story of Balaam? Fantastic. Some of those Old Testament stories are beautiful, aren't they? Balaam is the soothsayer, and he's being summoned by Balak, the king of Moab, because Moab is afraid of Israel. He thinks that he's going to get overrun by Israel. He knows that they're made strong by God, and they could easily defeat him if they've got God with him. With them. So he calls this well-known soothsayer to come and curse Israel so that he could beat them. I wonder if Gareth Southgate is doing a very similar thing with Senegal tonight. We hope so in the World Cup. But just like the World Cup, and who knows how many backhanders there have been to get the thing done over in Qatar at Christmas. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Balak is bribing Balaam to come. He wants to make sure this soothsayer does come and does curse. And Balaam does come, but as he's en route, as they say in France, God intervenes, and God speaks to Balaam, and he tells Balaam that he must not curse Israel. Well, Balaam fears God much more than he does Balak, king of Moab, and so Balaam blesses Israel. "What have you done to me?" says Balak. I brought you here to curse my enemies. You have done nothing but bless them. Balaam answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? No, not if I'm paying, says Balak. And Balak's he takes Balaam to the top of the hills so that they can look down over Israel and see how dreadful Israel are and what a curse they are and a blight on the landscape. No, makes no difference. The Lord God is with them. That the shout of the king is amongst them. There's no divination against Jacob. No evil omens against Israel. What? Balak's even feeling getting bristly now. A third time they got to the top of Peor, which is one of the highest mountains in the area, and they're overlooking the desert. Balaam cannot please the earthly king because he is listening to the heavenly king. And his oracle tells of God's blessing over Israel even more. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel, like valleys that are spread out, like gardens beside a river. Goodness me, what is happening? Friends, do you see it? The point that I'm trying to make is this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. I love this bit. Burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together. You can see him going like this, kind of in his anger. Oh, I summoned you to curse my enemies. You've blessed them these three times. Now leave and go at home at once. But Balaam doesn't go. He blesses Israel another four times before he goes. By which time I reckon Balak's resigned as king. His officials are playing pass the crown because nobody wants to be in charge of Moab when Israel get there. Friends, simply this, if you're blessed by God, victory is yours. God will be at work in your life bringing about those very blessings, protection, guidance, strength. And God says to anyone who turns to him, I know the plans I've got for you. And they're plans to prosper you. Plans that will do us good. But the disciples are beginning to see that whatever Jesus does for them, and he does lots, he blesses them in all sorts of ways, whatever he does for them, he's expecting them to do for the people around them. Same with us. God enables us to do that through the work of his Holy Spirit. But just like last week when I reminded us that we're made in the image of God, it means that we take on the heart of God for others. Now, if we rewind 3 years previous to Jesus dying on the cross, what happened? He's anointed. It's his baptism, isn't it? He's anointed by the Holy Spirit in the Jordan when the dove of the Spirit rests upon him. The power of God. Anointing him, raising him up out of the water to new life. Ultimately, of course, raising him up out of the grave to new life. As king of heaven and king of the world. We live in the world. In the UK, we live in the kingship of King Charles. L1 has already prayed for King Charles this morning, but Christ's kingdom is way superior to that. I love this little analogy. Sometimes I do the washing up at home. I'll wash my cup up and I'll put it on the draining board. Mrs. Court has a go at me. She says it doesn't belong in the draining board. It's clean. Put it back in the cupboard. So too, you and me, we're washed by the blood of Christ. We don't belong in the kingdom of King Charles. We belong in the kingdom of heaven. Think of your baptism. Baptism isn't about me being forgiven and then remaining the same. It's about me being forgiven and then being renewed, transformed from glory into glory, we sing. We're glory because we're made in the image of God. There's no greater thing than that. But we're fallen glory because the apple got eaten in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve hid themselves from God. They got separated from his kingdom. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that thing about the unveiled faces. You remember that? Why does he write that? Because God opens our eyes. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the kingdom of Jesus Christ to us now, here, in this place. So we who with unveiled faces all reflect God's glory as we're transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. That's the strap line here at St. Chad's, isn't it? Christ, inside and out. That's what we want to be. We become increasingly like Jesus, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Paul says, don't live as the world lives anymore. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Thessalonians, who wrote that God is saving us by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification simply means being set apart, being made different, being made holy. I've told you that I used to live very much according to the world. My early years were spent amongst gangs of thieves. But you see, as we come into relationship with Jesus, so he transforms us. So he breathes on us his spirit, and it's life-giving. You remember Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, those things that you and I can expect to see happening in our lives as we come into relationship with Jesus, as we get that anointing from him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit that we get because of the Holy Spirit, because it's the fruit of God's heart. Those are the very things that flow from God out onto the world. As I was thinking about this, I started to think of Gogglebox. Anybody watch Gogglebox? Nobody. One, two. One in the corner. Gogglebox. Can you imagine who in their right mind has decided they're going to make a television program watching other people watch television programs? It's madness to me. I can't. Amazing thing. People sat in their lounge just chatting waffle about what they're watching on the telly, and somebody thinks that's our entertainment. Anyway, friends, that's what we're like as Christians. We're sat outside of what is happening on the telly. But more than that, because we take on those gifts of the Spirit that Paul lists for us, we can affect what's happening on the telly. We can affect what's happening in life around us. As our hearts get drawn into the heart of God, then we begin to act with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so on and so forth. Does it mean that we instantly become saints and not sinners? No. It took me years to have my life turned around by God, and still I'm far from perfect. Remember that comparison I make with a jagged rock at the edge of the sea at the beach, and the waves continually washing over it, and that continual washing over is what smooths it out into a smooth stone. It takes time to change bad habits, but as that process begins, it shows that our hearts are facing a new direction. It means that we're born again, no longer facing the world, but now facing Jesus. I love that old joke about the chap who moves into the Catholic area of town. And he's, of course, a Protestant, but they're all Catholic. And so on the Friday, they're all eating fish. But he's got the barbecue going. And on the barbecue, he's got the biggest, juiciest prime steak you have ever seen. And he's loving it. And they're sat and they've got, what is that smell? That's prime steak. Somebody's got a barbecue going. So they go to the father of the church. They go and they complain about him. And the guy says, well, don't you worry about that. Bring him here and baptize him. We'll get him baptized into the Catholic Church. What a cracking idea. They go and invite him. To their amazement, he says he'll come along. He goes along. He gets baptized in the name of the Father and Son. You were born a Protestant. You were raised a Protestant. But today you're a Catholic. And they all cheer. They all cheer. Friday, they're out with their bits of fish. They smell. The barbecue's going again. It's another juicy steak. They go round, and as they go round to complain to him, they open the gate, and there he is with a bowl of water. You were born a cow. You were raised a cow. But now you're a fish. Born again. Born again. That's why the Bible calls us children of God, heirs to the throne of Jesus Christ. Jesus opens the way for the Holy Spirit, but they work in tandem. Remember that Jesus is the Word of God, and we need the Word of God. It blesses us, it guides us, it leads us. But also, we need the testimony of those who were there and saw Jesus in the flesh. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, said John. And actually, that helps me to believe. Because a group of misfits actually saw the Christ, not a dream or a vision, an actual person walking and talking with them, living with them, eating with them, being with them. They didn't fully understand him. And you remember what happened. Jesus breathed on them that Holy Spirit. And gradually they moved out of the kingdoms of the world and into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, that's why we have pity on others. That's why we lay down our lives for others, which today for you and I means gives over our diary for others, allows other people to interrupt whatever it is we're doing so that we can see to their needs. Maybe it simply means coming and serving. People were here yesterday packing those shoe boxes to send over. It suddenly dawned on me, we're not going to have them in here for the first year in years, are we? They're all over, ready to go. But that's why we do that, because we have an assurance that the world doesn't have. And to the world, it can seem like our lives are crumbling. It can seem like life is going down the drain. A friend of mine had a brain tumor. He died at 28. He smiled to the very last day of his life. He blessed others in as many ways as he could to the very last day of his life. And he knew that he was dying, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything in his life was being slowly and gradually taken away until all he could do was lie in a bed on morphine. And yet there was a power at work in him that holds firm to the love of God and the hope of eternity brought by Jesus on the cross. His body was dying, but his soul was alive and kicking, and seeking to shine at every moment of his life the light of Jesus Christ. It's that assurance, it's that hope that allows us to think of others instead of just thinking of ourselves. Today is our toy service, but hopefully we'll do this right across our lives and not just at a toy service. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, as we open this word, I just pray that you plant it again as a seed in our heart. With all your word, Lord, would you plant it in our hearts? Water it by your Spirit. And as we think of generosity today, as we come with our shoe boxes and our gifts for others in our toy service, I pray that that would become a way of life for us, because it was a way of life for Jesus. And he breathes on us and asks us to go and do likewise. Thank you, Lord.